Hey everybody, welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley. I am joined tonight for another installment of F Everything by Doug.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Welcome back to the show. You were just on a week ago talking about Shawshank, and
That's right. You're
talking about nothing in particular.
Nothing in particular, but I am very honored because I'm back for this spooktacular episode of F This Movie.
It's not super spooktacular yet. We'll get to that. You can always find our website at fthismovie.net, where you can find all of our past podcasts, lists, articles, reviews, columns, whatever. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. which people have been taking advantage of lately, and I appreciate reading your emails. I promise to try and get back to some of you. you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fthismovie, which you're going to want to do in October. And find us at DVD Verdict by clicking going to DVDverdict.com and clicking on the podcast tab at the top. And while you're there, you should click around and read one of the tens of thousands of DVD and Blu-ray reviews at DVDverdict.com, the best DVD review site on the internet.
Are you done yet?
I'm done. You go ahead. You get your business out of the way.
All right. Well, I'm very happy to be on this. It's not a spook tech. This very special Emmy recap episode of F This Movie.
Let's talk Emmys, people. Modern Family. Who can
Charlie
stop
Sheen.
That juggernaut?
Juggernaut. Comedy, you're not. I've actually never seen one single episode of Modern Family.
I think I watched half of one, and I was good.
I feel like I'm in the minority. I know everyone that walks up to me. Well, not everyone, but people walk up to me.
Every single person
on the street walks up to me and I'm like, oh, you got to watch Modern Family. And I'm like, no, I don't. There's too many things, and we've talked about this before on the podcast. There's so many good things in the world in terms of – especially now. And I know you're showing me the Harvard Man DVD. Thank you, Mr. Heath Holland, for Harvard Man. There's so many – right now is kind of a TV renaissance. There's so many good shows, and there's a couple great shows, but there's a lot of good shows. And honestly, there's not enough time in the day to watch everything that people want me to watch. I can't watch Goon. I mean, go on. I can't watch The New Normal or Happy Endings. I heard Happy Endings is actually really good.
It is.
In fact, the one thing – and this isn't about TV obviously, but I want to say the one thing I'm kind of intrigued by is Homeland. I kind of do want to see that because it seems like it might be pretty awesome. So
be honest, though, it's only because it stars Damian Lewis, your boy from Band of Brothers.
A little bit. He does the best. I don't know if he's American or British. I've not seen one second of Homeland, but he does the best American accent. He's actually British.
Give me 1 second of a Damian Lewis American accent.
It's all in the grind.
That's
son.
What I thought you were going to say.
Here's how he normally sounds, though. McGee. He normally sounds like Christian Bale, Terminator Salvation era Christian Bale era. And instead he sounds like Ewan McGregor doing an American accent.
We've got to stop Judgment Day. Era Skynet. Era John Connor.
The machines are sentient. Era. I drowned a machine in Chappaquiddick.
So we're going to be talking about all kinds of things tonight, but I want to start, obviously, with the fact that we are just a few days away from the start of Scary Movie Month.
Ooh, I'm
here
excited.
At F This Movie. I'm super excited, too, and I feel like maybe it's because we've been around now a couple years. We're a little bit more established. Maybe it's because people kind of know what to expect, or maybe it's just because we've been talking it up so GD much, but like I feel like a lot of people are pretty stoked about Scary Movie Month, which
I should
makes me
so.
Happy.
We've got a lot of – I mean, I wouldn't say a lot. Let's clarify.
Right.
Not a lot. We don't have a ton of fans. We're not like rolling in fans.
No.
But we've got a great core group of awesome, awesome F-heads, and they're really, really enthusiastic and great and complimentary and very polite and cordial, and they smell delicious because they're all made of gingerbread. I think that they know that the expectation is that the last 2 years were a lot of fun. It's not like work, kind of like 30 Stars of Summer might have been like work where you have to watch a whole movie and then write a kind of in-depth synopsis. This is 7 words, and it's only 7 words. It's not 13 words. It's only 7 words. You watch a scary movie. You write a 7-word review. It's, you know, in, you're out. It's very easy. And honestly, it makes you want to watch. I mean, it kind of forces you. Not force. That's the wrong word. But you're it allows you to watch awesome movies. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we'll obviously get more to, like, the rules, if you will. I mean, you can always go back and find the old Scary Movie Challenges at fthismovie.net. But the first day of October, we'll post, you know, the rules and the thread that has all the comments. But there was a little bit of confusion in some of the comments and past posts about how it's done or whatever. You don't have to watch something you've never seen before. You can watch whatever you want as long as it's a scary movie. You don't have to watch only scary movies in October. You can watch whatever you want. But if you do happen to watch a scary movie, you should write about it. I will only watch scary movies in the month of October.
That's kind of your thing.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier because last year we did great. Like, I think I wanted to get to like 150 comments or something because the year before we had just broken 100 and it was like, hey, great job, us. Last year I was like, okay, let's shoot for 150, and we were like over 400. So
yeah, it's pretty great.
I don't know where I'm going to set the benchmark this year, but I mean,
you don't
do
have
I
to
say
set a benchmark though. You don't have to say like we need to reach 1,000 posts.
I feel like every year we should go up, but
you
I guess
probably
I
should. But that's kind of inherent and kind of, you know.
But that's the challenge. The challenge is clearing this hurdle that we set for ourselves. Yes.
Yeah, but then it's just I agree. I understand where you're coming from. But then wouldn't it be just like you, me, and JB and Heath Holland like watching everything and scrambling on October 30th to like?
I'm willing to do that. Well, that was kind of my point. Was that like everything that we do, whether it's the Scary Movie Challenge or 30 Stars of Summer, or even to some extent like F This Movie Fest or whatever. It's like, or the massacre that we do the podcast on. It's like anything that's worth doing is worth doing until you're exhausted. It's
yeah,
like it everything out. Is this weird, like this test of will. Just like I can do this. I don't know. Yeah. We don't go easy on ourselves here.
No, absolutely not. Well, if you're gonna do it that way, I respect the challenge in vigorous quotes. I have to argue that a movie like Buried is a horror movie. It takes place in a coffin, and maybe even a movie like The Mummy. It stars a mummy. I think that might be a horror movie, babe.
What about The Mummy Returns?
Not a horror movie.
What about The Scorpion King?
Horror movie. Arbitrary.
Did you hear that they're remaking The Mummy again?
No, what?
Yeah, what a great idea. I'm sorry, rebooting The Mummy.
Yeah, that's the
And I believe Len Wiseman is currently planning to direct. That guy turns everything he touches into greatness. Let me ask you a question.
Into Mummy Gold.
As somebody... Mummy Gold, by the way, should be the standard currency in the United States. And I will not rest until that happens.
That's some Mummy Gold right there.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
As someone who has never seen, I believe, any Underworld or Resident Evil movie.
You're correct. I have not.
Which franchise would you do away with if you could do away with one?
They are different, you're telling me right now, for the first time ever. Those two things are completely different. I know they star the director's wife, both
right.
of them, right?
Yes, and it's about, like, the director's wife shooting guns at monsters, and there's one that comes out every year, and they have this inexplicable fan base, and they just keep going. I mean, they might as well be the same movie, but they're not. But if you could do away with one, which one would you do away with?
What are they again? I mean, Resident Evil is based on a video game. I know
Correct.
That, like, you're hunting zombies. What's the other one?
Underworld is based on the Underworld.
I thought you said underwears. It's based on underwears. Listen, I don't know anything about Underworld, honestly. I thought it was Resident Evil : Underworld. I swear to God, I'm not joking. I think
Underworld
my first thing
is
was a joke.
Underworld is Kate Beckinsale in black leather. She's a vampire, and there's a war between vampires and werewolves. And I got to tell you, the first time I ever saw a trailer for the first Underworld,
yeah,
I was like, listen, I'm in. Vampires versus werewolves? You got me. I'm not a Kate Beckinsale fan, even in skin-tight black leather. I could care less.
Right.
But
let's get back to that in a second. Go on.
But I was intrigued by the concept. That movie could not be just more boring. It's all weird slow-motion shots of, like, people walking through doorways, for real.
Does it, you know, we talked about this a while back when we talked about Battlefield Earth, or not, I'm sorry, not Battlefield, Battle Los Angeles. I'm sorry.
Yes.
How that, you described that movie, which I actually didn't hate as, well, I didn't hate it all. I think you kind of hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I thought it was decent and it just, it serviced me.
I remember reading your quote on the DVD cover box. I didn't love it, but it serviced me.
Doug well, Schultz, I think I knew what movie. I was expecting. You know, going into it, I was kind of expecting a, you know, war-themed alien invasion nonsense brainless movie, and that's pretty much what I got. Now, you said it was horrible, and you said it was just like watching a video game, and I think when I saw it, it was kind of – I had the expectation of watching a kind of a brainless, mindless alien invasion movie with lots of battle sequences and gunfights, and that's what I got. So I think that was where I was a little more – okay with it. Not to say it's good again, it's serviceable, but my point is, I'm sorry to bring this all up, is to say that it's like a video game, except it's less fun because you're not playing it, you're just watching a person play a video game. So is Underworld or Resident Evil, does it have that kind of characteristic?
Not in the same way. I mean, my thing about Battle Los Angeles was that it felt like a video game, only in that, like, the narrative had essentially, and I haven't played a video game in a long time. I know they've come a long way since Altered Beast, but
listen, I know Mr. Bonk's Adventure over here.
They called me King Bonk for a totally different reason. I know they've gotten way more sophisticated, but I just felt like in Battle Los Angeles that the stakes were essentially that of a video game, where it's like you have to clear a level and then move on to the next thing. That's so it was just really stupid. The Resident Evil movies and the Underworld movies, as far as I can remember, are bad in a different way. I mean, Underworld is just so, like, slow and boring, and Resident Evil is just so, like, stupid. And I've seen at least the first three in both series. I think Underworld is at 4, and Resident Evil, I think the fifth one just came out.
Jeez.
It's insane. And there, no end is in sight, I don't feel like. They're just going to keep making them. Anyway, well, I don't know how we got off on that tangent.
Sorry, well, I want to get back to Kate Beckinsale real fast. Now,
yeah, of course.
You've been long.
I've been long in the past.
You've long said that you're not a fan of hers, and you even go so far as to say that you don't find her attractive.
I recognize that she is empirically pretty. Like, everything is in the right place. But there's just something that I just find very cold and
Well,
I'm not attracted to her, which I don't think she cares. Honestly, I don't think she's losing any sleep over it.
If any F heads out there know Kate Beckinsale and would like to bring her on the show, we're totally open to it. Now, a question for F heads though, seriously, is that I'm curious to know what people out there think, because I think that you have a point in that personality dictates, and because I really think what you're talking about is more her kind of charisma and her warmth on screen. Like, she is kind of a blank, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way about, like, January Jones, who is kind of notoriously known for being a bitch? I mean, I don't know her personally. She might be lovely, but I just know I've heard stories that she's really cold and kind of a bad actress too.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way about her?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're just weird, like, robots on screen. And again, you know, people really like Kate Beckinsale. I'm sure people really like January Jones. Everybody...
Well, I think it comes down to, like, then...
The world is a rainbow, and Allah loves wondrous variety.
Allah loves wondrous variety.
Take God paint ye.
Allah loves... All right. Said the same thing three times. I do think, though, that there's, like, I kind of have to... Maybe my brain and my boner have to separate the two and say, listen, like, I get that she's, like, probably a horrible human being and married to Len Weissman, but it doesn't mean that she's not, you know, has all... I guess you said it before, has all the right... parts in all the right places.
Sure. Whatever. I don't know how we got on this topic. Let's go back to Scary Movie Month, because I'm totes excited. Do you have any plans, anything specific that you want to watch during Scary Movie Month?
Well, aside from the aforementioned Buried.
Right, which is your tradition to watch it every October, correct?
Well, I think, I'm crossing my fingers that, spoilers, he's going to escape. And I like to live with disappointment, so I'm looking forward to that. No, you know, I have a couple things. It's funny, over the summer, or even maybe the late spring, early spring, I DVR'd a bunch of stuff on HBO or whatever, including May, which is
yes.
Lucky McKee's May.
Yes.
And Hatchet 2.
Yes. You
were kind enough to show me Hatchet 1, or just Hatchet, as it's called in the biz. And so I've been, like, just sitting on these movies. And, again, there's a couple others I don't remember right now, but I'm, like, I'm kind of just waiting to watch them. And here's my interesting predicament, and I know you will definitely make fun of me for this, and I'm sure a lot of people out there will, because there's some purists out there who will, like you said, only watch scary movies and, you know, have no room for anything else. But my wife, who's a lovely, lovely, wonderful person, she does not like scary movies. And it's hard sometimes to kind of convince her. It took me almost 2 years to convince her just to watch The Shining, which, granted, has some crazy scary moments. Or at least definitely creepy moments. Even some of the scary stuff is dated a little bit, but those twins still are pretty effective. It's hard to convince her to watch this stuff, especially gory stuff. She hates it. And I have to tell her, like, it's not real, sweetie. Yeah. And I pet her hair like a pony. And so we had this weird compromise where we're going to try and watch Twin Peaks, the TV show from ABC from 1990, and you, I can't see your face right now, but I know you're gritting your teeth and cracking your knuckles.
No, I support you watching Twin Peaks. I think it's a great idea.
Have you ever seen it before?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be horrifying, i.e. horror.
There's definitely stuff in it that's like, but it's more like, for a TV show, that was weird,
I didn't finish my sentence. Oh, I'm
sorry.
Also watching Eerie, Indiana.
Oh, then you're fine. Then you're totally fine. I wouldn't describe that show so much as eerie.
More like horror, Indiana. Listen, I know it's a cop out, and I'm the first to admit it. But I want to see the show. It's
you know what you should watch.
What?
Cop out.
That movie is scary. It's Twin Peaks is totally what I feel like is an autumn fall movie. When I asked you that question last week, I know it's not again not a movie, but it definitely feels to me like, the weather gets a little cooler outside. I'm like, man, this just feels like it's the right kind of thing to watch.
Yeah,
and it's definitely some creepy stuff. And it's again, it's kind of hard to always put on, you know, the Lucky McKee or Ty West, you know, gore-a-thon with my wife, who's very sensitive to that. And she's not gone nearly enough for me to watch that stuff on my own sometimes. So,
For the record, I would say that May, without spoiling anything, is not super gory, and your wife might enjoy it.
Okay.
Hatchet 2, she would not.
She also liked Frozen, which is the same guy that did Hatchet and Hatchet 2, right?
Yes, but working in a very different kind of style. I mean, Hatchet and Hatchet 2 almost exist as demo reels for practical gore, you know? Okay. Frozen obviously has a very different goal, and I liked Frozen, actually. Except
Frozen's great.
The CGI wolves.
We were on vacation recently, and we actually went on a ski lift to the top of this little mountain.
There's snow in the summer?
There's no snow. It was just for a hike. And just being in the lift, it was an enclosed thing. It wasn't a chairlift like in the movie. But at certain points, it stops to allow older people or people with disabilities to get on and off. And so you're just sitting suspended up. I mean, it's pretty freaking high.
Yeah.
And it just rocks back and forth, and there's no like airflow. It's really creepy. And of course, Shadi is telling our friends about Frozen, and I'm like, shut your face.
Were there any, did you see any CGI wolves?
I did not. No, just not even the real kind. Disappointment.
Are there any scary movies that you watch? And this is kind of along the lines of a question that you had asked me last week in the same column. Is there any specific like scary movie that you watch every single year?
There really hasn't been. If I had to put one on, it might be the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Because I think that movie's just so great, and it's so effective, and so simple, and basic, and to the point, and quick and easy. Not easy, but quick, and it's a easy movie to watch if you only have a short amount of time. It's pretty great. I feel like I kind of want to watch. This is so weird because last year I saw Dawn of the Dead for the first time. And I was kind of – I feel almost embarrassed.
Don't say it.
No. I just – like my gut reaction was kind of like every doofus's gut reaction to Dawn of the Dead, that like, oh, this is kind of campy and weird, and there's some slapsticky elements and the blood is orange, you know. And I couldn't quite – but, you know, it's funny because I'm thinking about the movie more than I thought I would.
Okay.
You know, so I actually might want to revisit that. And I always try and – because especially with JB's influence, I always try and revisit for the first time a couple of the classic Universal stuff. I feel like I've seen not most of them, but the foundation, the basics. I've seen all the, you know, the main ones, but yeah. There's always a few out there that I definitely want to see.
Have you heard of this movie called The Mummy?
Mummies. My favorite line from The Mummy.
They should reboot The Mummy, I don't know, every 10 years or so.
So is there a scary movie that you're all stoked to see again for the first time, aside from Sleepless in Seattle?
There's not. I mean, I know there's a bunch of stuff like on Netflix Instant, some like kind of oddball 60s and 70s like French and Italian movies that I've never seen that I'm excited about watching. I have to watch The Omen this year because I've never seen The Omen.
And I saw that for the first time last year. Yeah, good luck. It's a lot of fun.
That's the only one that I know for sure that I'm going to watch. And obviously I'll watch a ton of scary movies, but I don't have like big plans necessarily to watch specific ones.
Sure. Well, let's go back to what you said, and just wanted to clarify then in the comments, a couple people were asking, like, what are the rules, whatever, and obviously yeah. The rules are pretty straightforward. They'll be explained in more detail in your post, I'm sure, but it's you watch a movie, you write a 7-word review. It could be funny, it could be informative, it could be whatever, just it could be yeah. 7 words in a row, and the point is just to see a lot of stuff and to share those experiences, and the comments typically don't get commented on, just a heads up for those who are new to the site. You know, comments on comments are right. kind of popular right now. But it's just to kind of put your stuff out there and kind of enjoy the community. And I'm noticing a lot of people on Twitter actually, too, are excited about it. People that disappear for 10 months and then they come back in mid-September and they go away, you know, November 1st. And it's like, oh, you should stick around because we've got 30 Stars of Summer coming up. A lot of fun.
Maybe we should just make 30 Stars of Summer all horror movie based as well.
Yeah, that's the case. And you could definitely watch whatever you want. You could watch the same thing 5 times if you want.
You could, yeah. I guess you'd have to write a different review every time.
Bride of Frankenstein.
There's nothing like, there's no one, and I'll go back to comments in just a second. There's no one specific movie that I watch every October. I'm sure there's stuff that I repeat every couple of years, but like there's definitely enough stuff that I like a lot. Although I'm sure like every year I probably watch at least one Halloween movie.
Okay.
Or like one Nightmare on Elm Street, or because there's just so many of those and they're just weird, like there's something comforting about them to me, even watching.
Also try
like,
to watch the movies that are like a little a bunch of short, like Creepshow or
anthologies.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That word eludes me. Don't you try and watch some anthologies every once? Like,
yeah, sometimes just cause I kind of like anthologies, although yeah. There's not very many good ones I'm discovering.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's some like, there's a Vincent Price one called Tales of Terror that I'm a big fan of. It's on Netflix Instant. I like Creepshow a lot. I know you're not the world's biggest Creepshow fan.
No, I just like to make the joke that I remember Creepshow 2 more, and I acknowledge that Creepshow 2 is probably way worse, but it's like, that's what I remember when yeah. I think of Creepshow is the swamp with the green stuff that envelops people. And
the
you know,
raft, please.
The raft, but it's the swamp.
Black,
it's
not green.
You know, this is, again, I don't
it's
I don't
like a big oil this. Slick made of rubber. What I was going to say about the comments was that they've really kind of picked up lately, which is great. And I know you had been saying all summer, like, people aren't really in front of a computer.
Well, just to clarify,
I was.
Patrick is on a ledge half the time.
Yes, and he's I'm all a man like, on a ledge. You might have heard my story. Washington. Denzel Washington's not in Man on a Ledge.
He's in Bird on a Wire, isn't he? Okay, who's in Man on a Ledge? Because this is like 2 times in a row now.
Sam Worthington.
Oh, he's a star. Get it?
Jake Sully.
Patrick's
on wheels.
Suicide. No, that's too strong of a word. He wants to kill himself daily.
Yes.
Is the point. And I know that during the summer, especially in August, and August is a very weird month because it's like you want to have fun, you want to go outside, the days are still beautiful and warm. But everyone's kind of dreading, like students dreading school starting. Same with teachers, you know, even work is kind of transitioning if you're a working class stiff. Hmm. And Patrick was really devastated because, like, man, there's no one. I wrote this like 5,000 word essay on Steven Seagal and no one's commenting on it. I'm like, relax, dude, it'll come. And I said, come September, you'll see people are going to be stuck back at their desks at work or at school or whatever. And they're going to be reading the shit out of your heavy action gun, so just chillax.
Anyway, thank you to everybody who's been commenting, because it's great. It's not even you know, what I like is that the comments aren't all necessarily directed at, like, the article itself. The article has just sort of become this jumping off point, and sure. now people are having conversations with one another and commenting on each other's comments, and that's what I really like to see.
A community, yeah, for sure. I even liked, during the Shashank podcast, the first several comments were about the movies that we saw leading up to
Punisher Warzone and stuff, right?
We're talking about that, which, you know, almost makes me think it should have, not maybe not with me, because I would probably do it a disservice, but it almost should have its own show, just because I feel like there's probably a lot to say about that movie.
I don't know if there is, and if there is, it probably was all said on that How Did This Get Made podcast.
Yeah, you know what?
By the people involved in making it. Let me say one other thing while I'm thinking of it, too. I want to thank everybody who has been nice enough to give us a review in the iTunes store, especially those of you who give us very positive reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't done so yet and you like the show, you should do it. It helps increase our visibility. It helps give us legitimacy. You know, if somebody finds our podcast and sees that it has 100 5-star reviews, it's like, hey, I should check this out. And then we can finally dominate the internet and take That's you all goal. With us.
Right.
We had a comment recently. And I won't, I'm not going to get into like attacking the commenter, because what they said was very nice, but the review was very positive and they said nice things about our show. The only reason I bring it up is because in that same comment, they talk about another podcast that exists that has a similar name to our show that came after our show. And I'm not suggesting that we were ripped off or whatever. But I've never heard this podcast. We have no affiliation to this podcast. And that's why I bring it up. If anybody listening to this thinks that somehow we are like sister shows or we're somehow in cahoots, we are not. These two shows exist totally independently of one another. So don't be confused. They have their show. We have ours. And never the twain shall meet.
And not to belabor the point, but the F This Movie is its own thing. I mean, we do have affiliation association with DVD Verdict Presents,
yes.
And DVD Verdict Presents does kind of host, for lack of a better word, several different podcasts in their DVD Verdict family. But we really don't have much affiliation with them aside from them. They're just awesome and they're willing to host us, and we really appreciate that. But we don't have, there's not like an umbrella corporation. What? Umbrella corporation?
Yeah.
Resident Evil.
I thought you'd never seen one. Oh, you're such a liar.
I totally played the game. Are you talking about Silent Hill, right? We're talking about
That was a movie too, which I never saw.
It's also a movie coming out again, I think.
Yes, there's a sequel. Yeah.
Yikes. So yes, we are a standalone. We're an island. We are The Island, which is directed by Michael Bay.
Anyway, I just wanted to clear that up, lest anyone think that somehow these two shows are connected. And again, I'm not saying anything against that show. I've never heard it. It could be a great show. I don't know. But
chances are it's not.
We don't have anything to do with one another. So,
by the way, Doug's opinions are his own and not Patrick's. I am so quick in our friendship to be like, fuck that. They're totally ripping us off. Patrick's like, no, calm down.
You're a bad cop. You are – you're Cash and I'm Tango.
I'm Tracy Morgan in Cop Out.
Exactly. I've been meaning – I keep going back to Scary Movie Night because
–
Scary Movie Month because obviously this is the last show before Scary Movie Month kicks off. And we have a bunch of stuff planned. Again, we really kind of push ourselves in October because that's kind of become our signature month, if you will. And so we try and do lots of special content, and we do the Massacre podcast, and we do last year we started a new tradition, which we will be keeping up with, and we do lots
You're really going to keep it that, like,
well, whatever, a commentary track. We're going to do another commentary track for Scary Movie Month.
Because it'll come out by the time this is released on Wednesday. The commentary track will be out like 4 days later.
But what a suspenseful 4 to 5 days.
I wonder what they're planning for October.
It's going to be like the F-Heads Bay of Pigs. Everyone is just really on pins and needles. Anyway,
I get that reference. So, I've seen 13 days.
Era, what will that commentary track be? Era, ich bin ein Berliner. So we have lots of special stuff planned, and hopefully everybody will be around.
I also want to give a warning that typically during October, I, for the most part, handle the Twitter, which is to say that everyone provides feedback, but I'm the one that typically pulls the trigger on most of our tweets. And
most of our guns.
And most of our yes. It's going to get pretty obnoxious because I will seek out other people that post or that hashtag Scary Movie Month and say something about a scary movie, and I will invite them to join our contest. So.
The funny thing is, it's like Scary Movie Month. Everybody thinks of that, right? It's October. Oh, it's Scary Movie Month. And yet we've tried to sort of trademark it as our own. So
absolutely.
Anytime somebody else writes it, you try and like pull them into the web. Like, oh, yes, Scary Movie Month. That's our property.
We're the worst. Did you see anything this weekend? Have you seen anything good lately, Patrick?
Oh, look at you. You know what I finally saw is Paranorman.
Okay. JB loves that.
Yes, he does. I think we talked about it on the summer podcast. I think I'm a little closer to you than to him.
Okay.
In terms of my reaction to it. I liked it. And honestly, for the first like 10 minutes or so, I loved it. I was like, oh my gosh, if this can be sustained, I will love this movie.
Sure.
And instead, I liked this movie. There's stuff in it that's really, really great. I feel like the story wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be, which maybe isn't fair. My big problem with the movie, honestly, is that it goes for laughs a lot and never gets them, I would say. Maybe kind of chuckled once, but all of the humor I felt like fell flat.
Can I be horrible right now? And this is
always
not to knock anything.
Can you be horrible?
Nice. Not yet, Patrick. Slow your roll.
Sorry.
I saw Paranorman about a week before we recorded that end of summer podcast, and I remember liking it. I remember thinking that was, I mean, visually amazing, which is the douchiest thing to say, but it really was like just really impressive and kind of in that stop motion vein, really great. And I liked some of what it had to say. My point is, I don't remember much about it, honestly. Like, I remember there's a big sequence at the end where he confronts, like, the witch or the person, a spirit.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes on a long time. But I guess that kind of speaks to me, not really. And here, I guess my overall point is to say this. I know that that movie speaks to a very specific kind of person, be it JB, be it another great F-head, Dawn Hunt, who posts often and she's wonderful. I think people watch this movie and they're like, they can identify with different characters and they like what it has to say. And I just think that it didn't really, I don't have much to identify personally with it.
Yeah. When it was about him, and there was not that much that was about him, just being this kid who loves scary movies and horror and all that stuff, I was way into it because obviously that was what I identified with. When it turned into more about like a kid who, well, I don't want to give anything away, but there was other stuff that I couldn't identify with.
Well, I think you and I, again, maybe on the same page in terms of, I also liked his relationship with his friend a lot, but I felt like that was kind of just more of a plot, kind of had to happen in order for the end to happen, you know, like to progress the story.
Yeah.
But I thought those characters were great. And
I liked the movie, definitely, more than, you know, lots of things that I've seen this year. I think I was prepared to love it, almost based on that first trailer.
And it's also hard with the expectations, even with JB and myself, even because I was like, yeah, it's great. You know, it is great. But with JB just loving it so much, it's kind of hard, like, to.
So, I mean, would you say he ruined it for me? I also saw the new Whit Stillman movie called Damsels in Distress.
Who, what, Bill?
Whit Stillman.
Stillman.
He made Metropolitan and Barcelona and Last Days of Disco in the 90s and then didn't make a movie until 2012.
Okay.
And
is he considered a filmmaker? Because I made a student film in college and I haven't made anything since. And it's like, I think that train is passed. It's like, this guy's like, no, I'm a filmmaker. Remember Last Days of Disco? And I'm like, barely. 97 was a busy year.
Yeah, and Last Days of Disco, I feel like, and that's actually a really good movie. I saw it in like 98 when it came out, and I was like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. It felt like every other movie from the 90s, you know, where it's like the only thing it was missing was Parker Posey. But it was kind of shot in the foot, if you will, because it came out right at the same time as 54, and for some reason people grouped them together in their heads, but they couldn't be more different.
Right.
Anyway.
54 is excellent.
Exactly, that was where I was going with that. But Damsels in Distress is very charming. It's a weird movie. I guess the biggest star in the movie is Greta Gerwig, who is great.
Yes.
And who I like seeing in everything, which is good because she's in almost everything lately.
Well, wasn't it a thing too where she was the indie darling for such a long time?
Yeah.
And was kind of the, and then she broke out a little bit in, what's that?
Greenberg.
Yeah. And then she kind of became the it girl a little bit to some extent. Now she's appeared in a lot of stuff.
She had like four movies just this year and they all kind of came out around the same time. I don't know what to say about the movie, except that it's charming. It's a very strange movie because for the first, like, third, it feels like every other Whit Stillman movie, which is just super intellectual characters talking. And what they're saying is funny in the way that it's sort of cruel and, like, hypocritically intelligent and ha-ha-ha. They think they're smart, but they know nothing about the ways of the heart.
do you think with a name like Whit Stillman, you pretty much only have a few career options?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, director.
And you could definitely only, like, make this kind of movie. You can't, like, you can only make movies about, like, intelligent, upper-class, East Coast.
Right.
Wasps.
Caulfield types.
Yeah, right. You can't reboot The Mummy.
yeah, that's a job for Len Weiss.
Have you guys seen The Mummy reboot by Whit Stillman?
Did you hear the Coen brothers are working on a Fargo TV show?
What a great idea. You know, they tried to make a Fargo TV show in the 90s. Edie Falco played Marge Gunderson.
I feel like I've seen that on one of your columns.
Yeah. I did a column about shows based on movies.
Listen, F-heads, if you're interested in some really great reading and you're like, oh, I love the lists and all that stuff, we were cranking this stuff – well, we, I should say. Patrick was cranking this stuff out a lot in 2010 and 2011. Go back and look. In fact, I might tweet it out tomorrow just because we talked about it, or maybe on Wednesday when the podcast comes out, just like, hey, that we did have a there was a column about TV shows that you would not believe existed that were based on movies that you're well aware of. Like there was a Bill and Ted TV show too, wasn't there?
Yeah, a live action and an animated series.
Right.
Fargo never made it past the pilot stage, but and honestly, if I could divorce it from the movie, I think there could be a show there. I mean, I think you could base a show in that location with Marge Gunderson as the lead of your TV show.
Okay.
My problem is divorcing it from the movie because I love the movie so much that I don't want it to, like, mess up the movie.
Yeah, and it's a thing, too, where it could very easily go, like, cartoonish, too, with, oh, hey, don't you know? You know, and I think that maybe now they're finding it, well, again, I mentioned earlier that TV is kind of – and it's weird renaissance right now. So maybe they feel like they can go the weird, like AMC FX. Well, it's going to be an FX route of being kind of like, you know, Breaking Bad is the only thing that pops in my head, but just how it could be a little more thoughtful.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're participating, I guess, means like maybe it won't be the worst, assuming it even happens, but I'd be fine if it never came to pass. You know, I don't need Fargo to be a TV show. I can just watch the movie. I love the movie.
Speaking of the Coen brothers, if you had to name one movie that they did,
yes,
that you, what are the rules again? One movie you love and one movie you have to murder in the face. Oh no, is that what it is?
Best worst? Is that what you're
best
talking about?
Worst. Yeah. I can't even, that's the name.
I'm pretty sure we did best worst for Coen brothers.
Okay. Then disregard that.
Yeah. We'll go back to best worst at the end. Okay. Just to finish up what I was saying about Damsels in Distress, it's a weird movie because for the first third, it's a Whit Stillman movie. And then all of a sudden, it turns into this weird, almost fantasy where, like, frat guys are throwing themselves off of buildings. And another guy doesn't know the names of any colors. And it just – it's this weird, like, broad, goofy comedy that ends in, like, several musical numbers.
So are you recommending Damsels in Distress?
I mean, I am, but obviously it's not for everyone. If you're somebody who's seen, you know, Whit Stillman's other three movies, if you've made the time, I think it's definitely worth checking out. If you're a Greta Gerwig fan, I think it's worth checking out.
Does she get naked in this?
No, she does not. But
what the heck? She gets Greta naked in everything.
It's not hard to come by, yeah. She somehow squeezed a nude scene into that remake of Arthur. No, I didn't. I didn't see the Arthur remake, everyone. I didn't.
You know, I have that on my DVR along with Due Date. Oh, my God. My DVR is like just a cesspool of crap, which is what a cesspool is, basically. I numerous times, it's like there'll be a Saturday where it's like we've got plans tonight, but it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't really have that much to do. Let's watch something, a light comedy. And I put Arthur on and I can't get I don't know why I do this to myself. Like, why don't I just delete it? I don't have that capacity. Like, if I DVR something, I feel like I should watch it. Just like how I have a movie that I feel like I can't watch a half an hour of if I bought it, or a TV show, a TV series. I can't watch 4 episodes and bail, even though I know that it won't really change that much and I'm not crazy about it. Like, I got to finish the season or the series.
I respect that.
He shouldn't. But so with Arthur, it's like I put this on and I'm like, oh, this is just – I mean, it's everything you think it is. It's kind of like – I'll make another comparison. All these movies are very dissimilar, but the Green Hornet with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, I pretty much think I know what this movie – exactly what this movie is. Yeah. And I was right, and I still watched like 15 minutes, and I'm like, well, this is exactly – and I have to, like, sit there for the next, 100 minutes or so, because that movie is actually longer than it should have been, too.
It is. Did you make it all the way to the end?
I watched Green Hornet. I have not finished Arthur or Due Date yet. I think at Due Date I got through – like, didn't even get through the credit sequence. I was like, I will not be in the mood for this right now.
I was not a big Due Date fan.
No one was. I don't know why it's on my because I have this thing is I have HBO and I'm like, if I come across a movie that, is new, I guess, to HBO, which means it's, been on DVD for a while. I'm like, should I watch Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close? Should I watch this movie?
Never,
right, exactly. And
never.
I didn't. I didn't pull the trigger on that.
Yeah.
But I did on a couple other things. And I'm like, oh, now I got to watch this, documentary on Jimmy Carter from Epix called The Man from Planes, just because I don't know. Seems like something your wife would like. It's a documentary about a politician.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't even want her to hear this show.
Loves documentaries so much. Sorry, I got really close to the mic. Loves documentaries so much. We used to hang out every once in a while, typically on holidays, and we'd watch a documentary, and it came to be called Docs with Dougs.
That's true.
And it hasn't happened in a while.
No. I feel bad. I like documentaries, just fine. I like them as much as I like a lot of other genres, but it's not my go-to movie. Like, if I'm going to watch something,
right,
I don't immediately think documentary. That would always be her first choice.
That's so weird to me. And I know she loves Hoop Dreams, which is great. And I know that most of the documentaries that rise up are pretty great. However, I have Waiting for Superman on my DVR right now too. And it's like, I know this documentary is great.
I don't know if it is. I have avoided that movie because I fear that it will throw me into a rage.
Well, right. And there's that too. It's the same reason I DVR Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And I long ago told myself, you shouldn't watch this before you go to bed. And in Central Time, it's 10 to 10:30. Well, everywhere it's before bedtime. And I'm like, I would watch it and lay in bed with the lights off in my room and be furious. I can't go to bed now. I hate Fox News. So.
Yeah, see, I don't know if Waiting for Superman, if I'm going to be on its side, or based on the trailer, I felt like I don't think I'm going to agree with some of what – I feel like that movie might be slightly anti-teacher. But I don't know for sure. I haven't seen it. So.
I haven't either.
Well, that's the thing about documentaries too, is that there are so many of them, and the ones that I generally see are the ones that have been held up as good or that have some weird, niche subject matter that I'm interested in, like the band at Showbiz Pizza or whatever. But,
yeah,
there's so many of them, and you just...
That's one you recommended a while back, right?
Yeah. The Rockafire Explosion. It's on Netflix Instant. There's so many of them, and a lot of people think, just because it's a documentary, it's good, but that's not true. Like any other genre, there's tons of crap, and there's lots of documentaries that just aren't good. Just because they are focused on a real subject does not give them automatic credibility, I guess.
Well, sure. Patrick, really quick, F, Mary, Kill.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich, Kate Beckinsale, January Jones.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to marry Mila Jovovich. And I'll give you a one-word reason. Can you guess what that one word is?
Nipples.
Cuffs, baby. Cuffs. F January Jones, kill Kate Beckinsale.
Really? Oh, man. January Jones seems so much more despicable in my book.
I don't know what to tell you.
Although.
She was in X-Men First Class, which was a movie. Hey, by the way, did you see they just today released the first image of Hugh Jackman in the new Wolverine movie?
I did see that. It's weird.
Why is that, I don't understand why that is supposed to drum up interest in the new Wolverine movie.
Here's something that F This Movie doesn't do. We're doing it now a little bit on this podcast because this is, what we like to call the F Everything podcast. But what this website doesn't do, and a lot of other film websites do it, is just do press releases from studios and talk about movie news and stuff like that. We really try to do nostalgic stuff or lists or, opinions and things like that. And hopefully you guys like it. If not, that's your problem. I don't care. Sorry, that went off the rails. I don't know why. But I've noticed that when I do go to a movie site, aside from other more irreverent websites, if there's just a straight kind of movie site, EW, not E News, but EW, Jesus.
I that was just where you first went. A movie site, E News, Entertainment Tonight, ET.
that they're showing what the big news is I remember this very specifically last year for all the casting rumors for The Hunger Games.
Yes.
Or maybe it was a year and a half ago and I had not even read The Hunger Games book.
Which so made it even more maddening because those names are such nonsense. Oh, and it's just Josh Hutcherson, which is a name that you already don't totally know. And it's why can't I say this fucking
because
guy's
he's
name?
He's a figment of
your imagination. Josh Hutcherson has been cast as PETA Mellark. And it's what are you saying right now?
And that's so many movie and just even news sites. I think a lot of even the straight news sites have to kind of go this pop culture movie route just to kind of get
traffic. Yeah, that's the way things are going for sure.
And this is, it's just so we don't have, there's, the releases this week. I mean, what were the Call of, or no, what was the movie that just won the box office that
Call of Duty, End of Watch.
End of Watch. And The Master was wide release this week too, but it's I guess we're not really talking about that. So let's talk about Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, disregard that you've seen him as Wolverine before.
Well, that's the thing I don't get. It's first of all, and I talked about this a little bit in the 500th post, but you just said, we don't really report on movie news every once in a great while if there's a story that, we have some thoughts on. Maybe it'll turn it into, a longer essay or article or something, but it's not just hey, guess what's, this just happened and Len Wiseman is going to reboot The Mummy, and we're going to post about it. But it's every other movie site, you go to Slash Film, you go to Ain't Cool News, you go to Badass Digest, and these are the ones that, I check out. Every single one of them will have, here's the picture of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and then maybe two or three sentences of commentary, and then what do you guys think? And then you read the comments and everyone's oh, I'm not going to see it, blah, 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 blah. And it's just, it's the same thing every site you go to. So I don't understand.
No,
there's no difference between the three. But it's exactly what you said. I don't understand why they released that as an image because, that's what he's looked like as Wolverine in every X-Men movie. I mean, he's crazy muscular. Okay.
He's all veined out. It's weird.
So almost that's the part that's supposed to Now I'm excited to see this movie. Hugh Jackman, a professional actor, has clearly been working out. I don't understand. We knew that they were making a Wolverine movie. We knew that Hugh Jackman was playing Wolverine. The only way this is interesting to me is if there's never been a Wolverine movie or we've never seen him as Wolverine. It's what he's going to look like? Neat.
We've seen him before. His hair is a little less cartoonish and his veins are way more cartoonish. And the whole thing is orange sepia tone. It's what's the point of this? And again, it's to your point, you said that he is, considered a handsome, muscular actor. And it's he's on screen looking handsome and muscular.
And he has claws because he's Wolverine. Of course.
He's got a personal trainer that just works him out. And that's what he gets paid millions for. I'm less impressed. I don't get it. It's the same thing that you see. I remember when the Lincoln poster was released. It was the big news on a Friday. Have you seen the Lincoln poster? And it's not even that great.
It's not that great, but I will at least say the difference to me there is there's some novelty in oh my God, look how much Daniel Day-Lewis looks like Abraham Lincoln.
I don't know.
If that's your first glimpse of him as Lincoln, then you're wow, he really looks like the guy on my pennies.
I think it's weird though, because it's I'd almost rather just see a still, because movie posters are garbage.
And there was a still that was released first, and that's how movies are marketed now. As soon as you get this professional still made, and you put that out first, and then you do a teaser poster, and then a teaser trailer, and then a trailer, and it's the same formula.
Well, now there's trailers for trailers, too, yeah.
Right, and comic book movies are notorious for that now because there's such a rabid audience for, they want to see what stuff looks like. And, you know, the studios, I understand, are in a kind of a lousy situation because they have to beat, like, spy cameras, you know?
Sure.
The first pictures of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man that came out were not official pictures. And so the first
I remember look, that, too, with the Dark Knight Rises, like, the plane thing was, like, released.
And it so
was
the
like,
first oh. look that anybody is getting is this weird amateur shot, like, where the lighting is wrong and it might not even be finished. I mean, especially with the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man stuff, it was like, recently, that looks like garbage. But
RoboCop
you see the movie
was
and,
just released.
Oh, yeah.
And that just is, I'm sure that wasn't official.
Right. No, it wasn't.
It was. And it's garbage.
It looks like garbage, right. And I'm sure if you saw an official picture that's been like doctored and lit and, you know, finished, basically, I'm sure it would look better, although it does seem like the design is flawed, you know, inherently.
Just,
but
it's so stupid. I don't know why we have to reboot RoboCop. I know that's obviously not the question at hand.
Oh my god!
It's like it gets down to like really just my anger towards like, no, why are we doing this? Even,
yes.
You know? But yeah, I get it. Like 2 points. One is that I know most websites out there, be it AV Club or Huffington Post Entertainment section, it's a beast. Like the whole Jay Leno defense. It's like I was really funny, and then you go on TV 5 nights a week, and you have to feed the beast. You know, you have to keep bringing the funny, and you're not going to hit every time or ever in Jay Leno's case. So obviously, these websites out there just have to provide content, and if they're employing more than 2 or 3 writers, and they have to give them a livable salary, it's like, well, you better find content, guys. You know, and so what they're doing is just like scrambling. I remember months ago, I saw stills from World War Z, which I don't even – I mean, it's a Brad Pitt movie coming out. God knows when, I think.
Oh, it's a – from what I have heard, it's a total disaster. I mean, it's way over budget. They went back and had to do all these reshoots. The release date keeps getting pushed back. It's a mess.
That's unfortunate because actually it kind of was intriguing. Just I think it's based on a graphic novel maybe. Is that what it is?
It's based on something. It's not a video game, right?
I don't think so. No, okay. I don't really. I'm not the, hey, you're King Bonk or whatever you call
it. Yeah.
Queen Boink. Please call me Battleship. My point is, I think there's you got to feed the beast, and all these things are stupid, is my point.
You know, it's just, I don't understand. Every movie site, you know, puts out the same story, which is what you were saying, that they have to. Everybody has to put up the picture of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because they need something to post. And I will say that, like, there are some sites where, like, yes, if I go to Badass Digest.
Yeah, Devin Faraci is pretty good at it.
I will read what he has to say about the Wolverine picture. If I have to see it and read some commentary, that's where I'm going to go. Because, I mean, Ain't It Cool News, for the most part, is kind of worthless at this point. Like, I'm definitely not going to see what they have to say because they're just sort of in the bag for everything. And that's the only difference, and it's a pretty minor difference, you know.
It is, but hey.
Do you want to play some Scary Movie Month themed best worst to get everybody in the mood?
Patrick, I would love to. Are you naming a director or an actor? Or what
I'm going to do – I'll do an actor – or okay. I'm sorry, a director of primarily horror movies. And okay. I feel bad. If we've done these people before, it's hard to remember because we play the game so sporadically. But John Carpenter.
The actor John Carpenter.
Star of Body Bags.
You know, it's you can make an argument for a couple of his best movies. I mean, Halloween – I think is the obvious choice, right? But I mean, Escape from New York is pretty great. I'm going to go Halloween.
Okay. And worst? Of what you've seen. I know you probably haven't seen the worst of the John Carpenter movies.
Yeah. You know, I'm lucky. And again, I know that I defer to you and Mike, actually. I know Mike's a huge John Carpenter fan, and I know he makes a lot of great stuff, but not really recently. I know that also. So I've avoided like In the Mouth of Madness and things like that.
That one's actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I think that's actually his last good movie. I think it's an underrated one, but another underrated one is Prince of Darkness, which I believe they're going to show at the Massacre this year, which you are going to for the first time.
Ghosts of Mars is probably the worst thing I've seen that he's done.
I didn't realize you saw Ghosts of Mars. Also,
By the way, I'm pretty sure I did. I can't even like be 100% sure that I saw Ghosts of Mars. But I know it came out around the glut of Martian movies, and I feel like I saw them all.
I'm trying to remember Ice Cube's name in Ghost of Mars. I want to say it's Desolation Williams. Do I have that right?
You are absolutely correct.
Yes. That's how you know that movie is not good. They were clearly trying to come up with another Snake Plissken, which is a great name.
I've also never seen Escape from L.A., but I've heard that's not that great. I do like Escape from New York a lot.
It has its fans. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of Escape from L.A. It's much more sort of comedic than Escape from New York, which is pretty straightforward.
Oh, and also The Thing is so great. I kind of forgot about The Thing, just thinking
about
it.
Yeah, The Thing, for me, The Thing is my best.
I still got to go Halloween because I will put it on every October almost. In fact, I watched it last
year.
Why
didn't remember when I said
because it's not a movie I'll watch start to finish
every October.
I won't watch it start to finish, but I'll definitely just like put it on to like set the mood
in between episodes of Twin Peaks. Put on 20 minutes of Halloween.
It's like, you burnt Doug. And then of course, who can forget Christine? I actually like Christine, but no one else does.
I'm not a huge Christine fan, no. And I like John Carpenter and I like Stephen King, and yet that movie does not do much for me.
So to recap, Halloween and Ghosts of Mars. Yes, you were saying before that for the first time ever, I'm going to The Massacre. It's at the Portage Theater this year. It's not at the Music Box, and I'm excited about that. Although I have no idea how long I'll last. I think I'm more curious about that, I think, than like the lineup of movies. Like, what will this do to me?
Stay tuned for our show on The Massacre. There are two sort of competing 24-hour film festivals in Chicago this year. We are going to one and boycotting the other.
So is that all we can say about that?
Yeah. So we are going to The Massacre at the Portage in mid-October, and Doug is coming for the first time, and I'm excited.
Who's hosting the Portage one? What's his name?
Me. Rusty Nails.
Rusty Nails is our
friend who's hosting.
Nice. So you said your favorite John Carpenter is The Thing. What's your least favorite?
His last movie, The Ward.
The Ward. I remember the write-up you wrote on that. I mean, again, I'm lucky enough to have a friend like Patrick and Mike that say, don't see this.
Yeah, that was actually Mike who wrote that up. Right. And it's a really bad movie. It's one of those movies that I think I said this before, but like, I think it was so bad that you don't even understand how the guy who made it ever made a good movie.
Oh, dear.
It's really poorly done.
Okay, I'll give you George Romero.
George Romero. Okay, of the stuff I've seen, because there's still a few. Like, I've never seen Knight Riders, which isn't a horror movie. I've never seen Martin, which is a horror movie. And shame on me for that. For me, his best is Dawn of the Dead.
You can see why that's a wrong choice, though, right? I mean, you can see why Night of the Living Dead is better, right?
No, I cannot. I totally understand why.
No, I know.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I totally understand how somebody could prefer this to this, you know, because I think they have totally different goals. Like, I think they're such different movies, even though they're, you know, one's a sequel. His worst, again, of what I've seen. His Living Dead movies continue to get worse and worse to the point where Diary of the Dead I thought was truly awful, but I think even worse is Survival of the Dead.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen Survival of the Dead. That's the last thing he's done.
That's the one where like zombies are riding on horses. I think that has to be his
worst.
But
let's not forget, okay, so my favorite obviously is Night, but yeah. I think I remember Diary of the Dead. And I saw it on HBO or something, and I was like, you know, this isn't – I was kind of in the right mood for it, which I know is so kind of a cop-out way to look at something empirically. But I was like, you know, it's – I shouldn't – knowing it's George Romero, I'm like, man, I should really dislike this. But I was like just in the right mood for it. But I remember watching Land of the Dead in the theater and being like, wow, this is a piece of shit. And actually it was funny because we called like some plot contrivance or something, like how – The pipsqueak sidekick guy was named Mouse.
Yeah, definitely.
And like we said, I guarantee that guy's name is Mouse. And like a second later, it's like, hey, Mouse, come over here. I'm like, oh my God, this was written by my nephew.
By the way, your nephew's a pretty good screenwriter, though. Yeah. Let's cut him.
He wrote
some
Man on a Ledge,
starring Denzel Washington.
It never got picked up.
The thing about Land of the Dead is every character.
Am I thinking Man on Fire? Is that the Denzel Washington one?
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to like redeem myself a little bit because I've lost so much respect out there.
every character in Land of the Dead has a fake name. Like, no one is named Tim or Scott. Everyone is named, like, Turbo and Ozone and Nitro and Mouse and Red Ranger. The thing is, though, when you consider, and I've made the point before that George Romero is like the George Lucas of horror, where he makes this great trilogy of movies that changes everything.
What's the third one? Day of the Dead?
Yeah.
I saw half of that actually at Mike's house, and I've never finished it.
Yeah, the second half is, I think that movie's not bad. I actually think it's kind of good. The second half is really where things get crazy with the gore. Like, I think when I was growing up, that movie had some things that I never wanted to see again, including a person, like, being pulled in half in real time, basically.
Yikes.
It's pretty rough.
Orange Blood?
Then he makes, no, it's really awful and realistic. It's not cartoony like Dawn of the Dead. The second trilogy of movies is so bad that it threatens to diminish the first trilogy. If you just take that second trilogy of movies, Land of the Dead is a masterpiece compared to the other two. And, you know, Land of the Dead's problem is partially that, like, we had to wait so long for him to do another zombie movie, and so expectations are sky high, but also that it has such a great idea at its center that it totally fails to explore in any interesting way. But this idea that, like, we accept that there are zombies, we are trying to ignore them, and that sort of the one percenters, the rich upper class, have just built themselves like these great cities above all the zombies where they never have to deal with them.
Yeah, that's actually a concept I'm, and no joke, I'm fascinated by.
Such a good idea, and then the movie does almost nothing with it.
Well, just the idea that there's something horrible out there that, again, I it had to be established, obviously, with his previous movies that, like, this, you know, they're taking over the world, and, like, it's such an epidemic, and even Dawn of the Dead, like, people have to, like, seek shelter in a mall, whatever, all these things, and that it gets to such a point where we can't kill all these things. It's impossible to, so we have to live with them. I think the coexistence with that is just a fascinating concept, and yeah, I remember it really shit the bed.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say that movie has things going for it that those second two, Diary and Survival, do not, including at least practical special effects, because Diary and Survival, it's all just like CGI blood and stuff. And
is CGI cheaper? Is that what it is? Is it just
I mean,
easier?
I have to believe so, yeah. Jeez. And I wonder if it's a ratings issue too, if it's like, because you can go back and alter that, you know, you can take out gore, you can add more gore.
Yeah.
That was always the thing with like Expendables, was that it was shot, I think, to be like a PG-13. And then they were like, let's go for R. So they added all this crazy CGI blood, which I'm not a fan of.
No.
All right, let me do one more for you. Wesley Craven. By the way, I don't know if his name is Wesley.
I don't know
what Wes it would be short for.
Well, Wes Craven, I'm just going to give you a little heads up. He's famous for the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yes.
He's also famous for being my uncle. I don't know if you know this. Uncle Wes.
Uncle Wes?
That's right.
Unky Wes? Okay, so your best is Music of the Heart. And your worst is Vampire in Brooklyn?
You know, it's funny because I'm just quickly scanning just to kind of refresh my memory, and these directors become so prolific. Meaning they just crank out movies, and so many of them are not very good.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing with Wes Craven, is that, like, he makes a lot of really bad movies. Not even just, like, movies that are just like, eh. Like, movies that are bad.
Like, egregiously awful, right?
But then every, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, he comes out with something, and you're like, oh, that's good. And he kind of coasts on that. For the next decade or so, he's done it maybe 3 or 4 times. And so you're like, hey, Wes Craven still got it. But like, no, then he makes 3 or 4 truly terrible movies.
When he was super young, he had a run. Like, I'm looking at his first few movies. The Last House on the Left, which I haven't seen. The Hills Have Eyes. Stranger in Our House. Swamp Thing. I'm skipping a few.
Yeah.
And then Nightmare on Elm Street. It's like, wow, this guy is the best horror movie director ever, you know?
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes a little...
Yeah.
Awry when it gets to The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Which is not his worst movie.
His best movie, I on a personal level, although I did watch Scream last year.
Yeah.
And I have such, again, we talk a lot on the show about nostalgia, and sometimes nostalgia makes crappy things seem good. And again, in 96, I think it was 96 when Scream came out.
It was
high school's transition to college, and it was that a new type of movie, and this is great. And it's starring like some A-list people that are, you know, are young, and it's kind of a hit movie. And I watched it again last year, and it's not the worst by any means, but it really just is kind of like, you know, it doesn't quite hold up as much as you want it to.
Well,
you want it to just be a timeless horror movie, and
right.
It's really kind of like a 90s. It might as well be Friends, you know?
It is definitely 90s. I think it's a little more timeless than you are currently giving it credit for, but I also think it's a movie that's done a disservice by
its sequels.
And also just how many imitators there were, and just how, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, there was just this glut of horror movies starring actors from, like, the CW, then the WB, or UPN, if you will. Just everything resembled Scream, and so it just became this white noise. And then
get me wrong, like, I'll watch. It's such a weird comfort thing, too. Or if I get back from work and I'll put on TBS and an episode of Friends will be on, and my memory of Friends is like, this was great. When I was in high school, this was on, I think, right before or an hour before Seinfeld. And it was like, what a great lineup. And I just have such fond feelings for that era. And you watch it now and it's like, well, this isn't nearly as funny as I remember. However, there's still a few funny lines that kind of, and the comfort still is there to like make me feel good.
So
again, I'm
so
talking
your
about Friends.
Favorite
too much.
Episode of Friends would be
is the one about Marcel the monkey. Is the one with Ross's kid from his lesbian wife. Listen, my point is simply this. I am not a Friends apologist. However, my wife, who is younger than me, never got on the Friends train because she was all into Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain when I was like doing grown-up stuff, right? So I'm like, no, Friends is funny. And then, you watch a Friends episode with someone who doesn't have this shared memory, and you're embarrassed. It's like, oh, this is really, really not funny. It's so sitcom-y and fake and lame. But there's still enough talent and kind of – they're doing something a little different every episode that makes me like it. Anyway, wow, I'm sorry. My point is that Scream feels a little bit like that to me. It's like it's definitely – of a point in my life where I liked it a lot. And you're right. There's certain things that do work well. And I have to remind myself, just like with Halloween, that this really hadn't been done. Well, with Halloween, especially that had never been done before.
Yeah.
With Scream, this really hadn't been done to this extent before. Anyway, my favorite movie is Scream.
Okay.
My least favorite is Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh, God damn it.
I hate that movie.
Because it's the worst. It's really not good. But I won't say it's Wes Craven's worst movie. I've actually seen one that's worse.
What's that?
My worst for Wes Craven is a movie, his most recent movie called My Soul to Take, which is a movie that almost achieves sort of this Troll 2 like hallucinatory level of, am I really watching this? it's so bad in such crazy ways that it circles back around and becomes entertaining again.
Okay.
But it is...
It's the worst.
It is atrocious. I mean, it is so... Because it's meant to be scary. I mean, this is like a guy thinking that he's reinventing himself and creating this new horror franchise. And it's truly, truly terrible. Even worse than Vampire in Brooklyn. My best for Wes Craven would be Nightmare on Elm Street.
I love
the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Honestly, the Scream thing might be kind of a joke, just given my long rant about Friends. Remember when I ranted about Friends on Halloween episode of God? Hey, this is F everything, right? Okay, cut me some slack. But I mean, it's hard to say because with so many of these directors, you could say like, yeah, the first movie of any of their series is the best, and it is. Like Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one is great. You know, it's really, really great. And likewise, Halloween is, and you have to remind yourself, and I still do. And I'm like, I feel like I'm a fairly okay, smart person. I'm like, and sometimes I'm like, this isn't scary. I'm like, oh, right. Because when this came out in the 70s, like this had never been done before. You know?
Right. All right. So I guess we will wrap up. And the next time everybody hears from us, it will be Scary Movie Month. I'm super duper excited.
this episode was just to whet your appetite. Because we couldn't even like – we talked about this. Like, what should we watch to do a podcast like a couple days before October? It's like, fuck that. That's just like –
this is almost like the red carpet coverage of the Oscars. Right. It's just like, we got to fill time before the real thing, right?
What are you wearing?
So, yeah, nothing. That's how I podcast.
Wow. I like it.
Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Get your scary movie lineups ready if you want to share them in the comments below this show. If you have things that you know you're going to watch, share it with us, and maybe you'll inspire somebody else to do the same. I know there's a couple people that are planning to work their way through the Universal Monsters, I think, for the first time, which is pretty cool because a lot of them are coming out on Blu-ray for the first time in early October.
Are you spoiling future episodes of F This Movie?
I'm not. People had commented that they were going to watch all the Universal Monsters. So.
Well, they should. Spoiler.
Because we're doing a podcast on the reboot of The Mummy, everyone.
Hey, who did Bucket of Blood? I'm sorry. This is such a dumb...
Roger Corman?
I want to see more. Can you maybe off the podcast recommend? I want to see more Roger Corman stuff.
Is a minefield because he's got stuff that's great and then stuff that's the worst unwatchable stuff you've ever
seen.
My
point is, I like Bucket of Blood. I watched it in June for 30 Stars of Summer, and I'm like, that was a really just fun, silly, kind of great Roger Corman-esque, what I kind of was hoping to get from Roger Corman, but sometimes I've been disappointed in the past, you know?
My favorite Roger Corman stuff tends to be his Edgar Allan Poe adaptations that he did in the 60s. Most of which star Vincent Price. The Raven was more of a comedy, so that's not one that I would recommend to you, but there's a couple ones that I would, that I could recommend.
Why don't you do that?
All right, I will. Back off. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. We'll see you when it's scary.